Huh? Just tonight. Yeah, there this morning. What does the corn say when you give it a compliment? Aw, shucks. Aw, shucks. What kind of plant can roar? A dandelion. Good job. Oh, good attempt. Good attempt. Why do you tell actors to break a leg? Because every play they have a cast. You don't like that one? Okay, never mind. You don't like it? I like it. You guys are mean to me. You're supposed to laugh no matter what I say. Make me feel better, at least. All right, we're going to be in Genesis chapter number 13. I spent this whole Sunday in Genesis, so I was like, I'll just do tonight in Genesis. Genesis chapter 13. If I start off on the right page, that'd be nice. I was trying to type up this message this afternoon, and I was losing my train of thought. I was doing all other things, so Joel, this is Joel's message right now. I'm teasing. She just typed it. But, all right, so we're going to read verse number 8, and we're going to read down to verse number 13. It says, "And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed them in Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. And Lot dwelled in the cities of the plains and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." Let's pray. Dear Lord, just thank you so much for your word and for your message, Lord. Just thank you so much for this passage of scripture. I pray now for myself, Lord, as I preach this, we pray that I would only say what you want me to say and that I wouldn't say anything that would go against your word. I pray now for my voice. Just pray that it would just keep up, Lord, and just pray that you bless the listeners. Just please help them to get something from your word tonight. Just pray for all these things in your name. Amen. All right, so Lot was who? Abraham's nephew, right? Okay, so they had some herdsmen that were weren't fitting very well. Okay, they were too close. Now they had a lot of land. They had a lot of animals that they watched over. And one day, those herdsmen had a disagreement. So Abram, in this story, he said, you know what, we have all this land that we can separate from. Why not you pick a spot, and I'll go wherever you don't want me to go. All right, so he had the choice. Now, he looked out, and what land did he pick? Obviously, we just read it. Jordan, right? Now, if you read that, just the first part of that, it was well-watered, it was beautiful, okay? Why wouldn't you want to pick that? Who would have picked that land? I probably would have, to be honest with you. It sounds pretty nice, right? It's like like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. So a lot of times we get him for, he picked the land that had Sodom and Gomorrah in it. Well, he could have picked the land but stayed away from Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Okay, but what does it say he did in verse number 12? It says, "And Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom." He pitched his tent toward Sodom. So whenever he went out in the morning, you know, the sun was coming up, what was the first thing he saw? Sodom. All right? So that was, my title of my message was Lot's Decisions. Okay, Lot's Decisions. So we see his very first decision was to pick Jordan. Then his second decision was to pick Sodom. Okay, he could have had any part of that land, but yet he chose Sodom. We see right off that Lot greatly lacked discernment. Sodom was known or many wicked sins. Obviously, what's the main sin that Sodom is known for? Sodomy. Okay? Hey, get that. And yet, he was willing to expose his family to that simply because it was well-watered land and beautiful. We don't see anywhere where Lot consulted God. Okay, nowhere in this passage does it say, and Lot prayed and fasted and asked God what to do. You read over that and you're like, oh, he made a bad decision. Well, if he would have consulted God, what do you think God would have told him? I don't know if you should pitch your tent towards Sodom, Lot. You know, they do a lot of bad things over there, and I just don't want you to be a part of that. But no, instead, Lot was like, you know what? I think I know what we're supposed to do. Isn't that scary whenever we think we know what we're supposed to do, right? We get ourselves in a lot of trouble if we just live life like that. Whenever I have a big decision, all right, in my life, I usually pray, and I ask Dad, and I used to ask Paul. Okay, those are my three people that I would ask. And if it was a car situation, I'd ask Todd. Makes sense. I'm sorry, my mouth is just drying out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the oldest brother, then the mechanic. Okay, but a lot of times we just make decisions off of our gut. Right? Who says, well, I have a feeling about this. Does God care about your gut feelings? No. Now, a lot of times, you know, people may think that gut feeling is God down inside, like, oh, God's just giving me a feeling inside. No, I don't think so. Because, what'd you say? Not if you didn't pray first, right? If you're just going in at just, you know, somebody, impulse decision. That's what I'm looking for. Okay, an impulse decision. Abram was like, Lot, we have beautiful land over here, and we have the semi-good land over here. Lot was like, good land. You know, I'll take that good land right away. That's what we do most times. We do what is best for what? Us, right? And what Lot saw was, well, this land is well watered. You know, probably started a pretty good farm on this. You know, it's beautiful, so I wouldn't want to move. You know, I'll stay there the rest of my life. He's set. Okay, but he didn't ask God. And a lot of times we think, well, we're going to make a lot of money at this job. You know, I can make $10 more than what I make at my last job. You know, it all weighs out to where it's better for me. But what if that's not what God wants you to do? What if you making that decision affects the rest of your life? Not only your life. As a man, this is scary. Because whenever I make a decision for my family, am I the only one who is going to be affected by that decision? Who else is going to be affected by that decision? My family, right? My wife is going to be affected, and now Jack. All right? Jackson doesn't know what planet he's on, but he's still going to be affected later on in life. The kid's a weirdo, I tell you. He doesn't know nothing. He can't even sit up yet. But a lot of times we make an impulse decision just to better ourselves. I think, like your children. Now, I don't think anybody in here, but send them to public school because they have really good sports, right? Well, do you know everything that your kid learns in public school? They teach some pretty bad stuff there. They teach stuff that I don't think I want Jackson knowing. Okay, now, is that worth the sports and him having a six-pack all the time? You know, my son's going to have a six-pack. Okay, whether he goes to public school or not. Okay, is it worth him going for the little part of sports over the really bad education that he's going to learn? No, I don't think that's worth it. Okay? A lot of times going to college. Kids will go to a secular college for a better paying job, better money-making degree, and they inadvertently corrupt the rest of their lives. Without asking God, we can wreck our lives and we can wreck the lives of our family without even knowing it. With just an impulse decision. That land looks good. I'm picking that land. Well, you just made a really bad decision because you went off of your gut. Then number two, he went into the city. Turn over to chapter 18. Chapter 18, verse 23. And Abraham drew near and said, okay, well, I got to get you some background first. That would be confusing. So, Who comes to see Abraham? If you guys know this story, who comes to see Abraham? Him and two friends? Okay. The angels, right? Okay. The pre-incarnate Lord, okay? He came to see Abraham and he's like, you know, I'm going to destroy that city down there. And Abraham was like, oh, okay, now he's probably thinking, Lot's in that city, right? Now, just a couple of chapters ago, he was just on the outskirts, okay? He was just looking at the city from the outside. Okay, but then he made that decision to go into the city, and Abraham knew that. Okay? We'll read this. And it says, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? Then by far from thee to do after this matter, man, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Ooh, that was confusing. And what he's saying is now hold on, Lot's in there. My nephew, okay, he picked that side, okay, picked Jordan, whatever, he picked, but then he decided to pitch his tent towards Sodom. And he's like, and that was a bad move. But then he decided to go into Sodom, and Abraham's like, oh man, okay, this isn't very good, is it? Now, he knew that Lot was in there. Now, do you think Lot made some excuses for him being in there? Is that a place for Christians to be? Okay, do you think he should have been there? So I think maybe he had some excuses. Well, hold on, Abraham. I know that it's not good, but I'm witnessing to people in here. Okay, I'm doing what's right. Now, I say, is it right to go into a bar and drink alcohol and get drunk if you're a Christian? Or, I'm sorry, I worded that wrong. Is it wrong to go into a bar, I got mixed up, and drink Coke? Okay, it kind of looks like beer. Let's say cream soda. Okay, cream soda was always a choice. If I wanted to look like I was a bad boy, pour some cream soda and chug that thing. It's like, yes, I'm an adult. But anyways, is it right for a Christian to go into a bar and just to witness to people inside of that bar? Okay, why is that wrong? What's the verse say? There you go. Good job. Same. Oh, I can't say the word. From all appearance of evil. Okay? So, he knew he shouldn't have been there. Oh, I'm getting all mixed up here. So, he probably made the excuse that he was witnessing. If it hadn't have been for Abraham's intercession for Lot, he would have been destroyed the rest of Sodom. Now, that kind of is an interesting point. The Lord came to Abraham, and he said, I'm going to destroy everybody in there. Okay, now, if it had not been for Abraham, don't you think Lot would have died? Don't you think Lot would have been burnt or destroyed with fire and brimstone? Okay, if it had not been for him, he would have been destroyed. And that made me think, we need to be praying for those that are living in sin. Okay, you may not know. Some people make it more obvious than others. Okay, some people know that another person is living in sin. And a lot of times we're just like, man, those are horrible people. You know, how can they still come to church? Everybody knows what he did. I kind of talked about this morning, where we think that person is wrong and that person is just the most evil person ever. Okay, but what we really should be doing is we should be praying for them. We should be bringing them before the Lord and saying, God, don't destroy them. That's what Abraham is doing. Abraham's like, don't destroy my nephew for the stupid decisions that he's made. And that, is, I think, is what we as Christians need to do. Whenever a brother in falls, or a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ falls, instead of just pushing them away, we need to be praying for them. We need to be holding them up before God. So that's what Abraham here was doing. When the Lord comes to punish the wicked, how sad for us to be found among them that were supposed to be set apart as Christians. Whenever God comes and judges us, how sad is it that we're going to be with the wicked? Now, of course, we're saved, okay? So, at the end, all of our sins get forgiven. But a lot of us are still living in sin, right? how sad is it that Christ looks down and he sees all these wicked people and, oh, there's one of my children down there. Oh, there's two of my children. Oh, wow, there's a whole bunch of my children living in that sin right now. How sad is that, that that had to happen for Lot? Number three, in chapter number 19, turn over to chapter number 19. Verse number 1, all right, it says, and there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot seeing them rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. Now, I did a little bit of digging, and I could be wrong, and if I'm wrong, I want somebody to point this out to me, okay? But in all the verses that I found, people who sat at the gate, that's usually where judgment was taking place. Okay, that's usually where, well, I have it written down because I don't, there's a big word here. Justice was given at the city gates to the deserving only by people who were just themselves. Only elders sat at the city gates because they were the representatives of major social communities in the city. So, like I said, I did some research. I found other verses, okay, commentaries. I did all that, and they said that he was sitting at the gate probably for, I guess we call it a city council meeting. Okay? Kind of. So, not only did he go into the city, but then we see that he sat at the gate. Okay? He was involved in what that city was doing. He was involved in the judgment. He was involved in probably some of the decision making. He was in that. Now, he must have convinced the dwellers in the city that he was just like them. The sad part is, he acted so much like them that God was going to destroy him along with the city. We see later that the chapter, we see later in that chapter that the angels came. Verses 2, yeah, we'll start at verse number 2. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night. And wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your way. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the streets all night. Now, he's thinking in his head, okay. These guys can't sleep out in the streets. And, you know, if you just read that verse, you're like, oh, that's kind of weird. I mean, I guess you don't want your guests sleeping in the streets. But, and then verse number 3, we see why. And he pressed upon them greatly. And they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and he did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where art the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. So, you can't really say Lot didn't know what was happening in the city, right? You can't say Lot was just oblivious to everything that was going on. He knew exactly what was happening. Whenever he saw the angels, I don't know what they look like. They could have been plain looking. They could have been good looking. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But he knew that the wicked men of that city wanted to do ungodly things to them. And right whenever he saw them, he was like, all right, guys, let's go into my house. We'll just go in here and we'll eat real quick, and then we can go to sleep. And they're like, oh, no, 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 we're fine. You know, this is a good spot for us. And Lot's like, you don't know what's going to happen to you if you stay out. You know? So he knew exactly what was happening inside the city gates. Obviously, that wasn't the first time that Lot had seen this happen. This is a sin that they're most known for, was sodomy. So obviously, Lot knew what was happening. When the angels told Lot of God's plan, he was in no hurry to leave the city. Verses 12 through 16. Let's read that. And the men said unto Lot, haste thou here, any besides? Son-in-laws and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. They're like, we got to go. Okay, just let's go. And then verse number 13, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing greater before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, up, get ye out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. And when the morning arose, so this is the day that it's happening, you know, it's happening today. When the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife, and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. So we see the angels came and they're like, God's going to destroy the city tomorrow. So I would get up and leave. Now, if you were to hear that, wouldn't you pack up everything and just book it out of there? I would have just never looked back. But instead, Lot went, all right, son-in-law, come on, we got to go. God's destroying this place tomorrow. And then they started mocking him, and he's like, well, okay, well, I tried. And went to bed. Woke up the next morning and was like, hear the angels rushing in. They're like, why aren't you ready? I warned you. So then they grabbed him, and then they ran. Why in the world did he stay? Why did he not get ready? Why did he not get ready? Even though Lot was eventually spared, his sacrifice, I missed this whole part, didn't I? Did I miss this part? Anyways, we'll just move on. Even though Lot eventually was spared, he sacrificed his married daughters and son-in-laws because he had to live in sin. How much do you think it haunted him that if he not had pitched his tent towards Sodom, all that he had would probably still be alive? Okay, so his daughters that were married, they stayed with their husbands. And what happened to everybody in that city? They got destroyed, didn't they? They stayed there, but he took his wife, his two daughters. So you're like, well, at least he's got his wife and his two daughters, right? You know, it's better than nothing. Well, then you read a couple more verses. Verse number 26. God did not to look back, by the way. Verse number 26. But his wife looked back from beside him, and she became a pillar of salt. You're like, wow, that's pretty crazy. Okay, imagine looking back and just all of a sudden, salt. I wonder if she just into a pile. I don't know. But now Lot had what? He only had two daughters left. So just because he made an impulse decision to live in Jordan, then he made a decision to pitch his tent towards Sodom, then he decided to live in Sodom, just because of that first decision, his family, most of his family, is dead. If Lot would have been a leader with discernment, he could have had a family that was blessed and multiplied just like Abraham. But he chose to pitch towards Sodom. Then we see that he did not learn from his mistakes. Okay, and his mistake was that he didn't counsel with God and he didn't listen to God. Okay, God sent two angels to rescue him from Sodom and Gomorrah and told him to dwell in the mountains for his own protection. Now, I think I have this verse somewhere. Maybe. And yet, Lot still chose to go to Zoar. So I'll just give you a rundown of it, I guess. The angels came to the city, and they took him out, and they said, okay, I want you to run to the mountains over there. I want you to just to dwell in the mountains for a little bit. And Lot was like, I'm a little scared. Okay, what if something happens to me and I die? I really want to find that verse now. Here it is. I found it. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest, this is verse 17, by the way, that lest thou be consumed. Verse 18, and Lot said unto them, O, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil take me and die. Now, if God just told you that he was going to destroy a city, and he actually destroyed the city, wouldn't you want to listen to God? Like, I'm going anywhere that he tells me to go. That's what I would do. If I literally watched fire and brimstone shooting down from heaven, destroying the city that I once lived in, and he took me out of that city, and he told me to build a rocket ship and go into space, I'd be like, I will try my hardest to do that. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it. But no, instead he's like, well, I'm kind of scared about the mountains. What if something takes me and kills me? But then we see in verse number 30, this is what's funny. So he went to the city, he went to the city Zoar, okay, and he dwelt in there for a while. And then in verse number 30, and Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains. And he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in caves, he and his two daughters. Why? Why did he have to make that so difficult? What I got from this is, if he would have just listened to God in the first place, he would have skipped the Zohar part, all the time wasted there, and just went around that to the part where God actually wanted him to be. So whenever we make our own decisions, whenever we disobey God, we lose a lot of time that he could have used. Okay? We lose a lot of time that our Lord could have been bettering us. But instead, no, I'm scared. I'm not comfortable doing that, God. All right, there might be mountain lions up there. Might be some big old bears up there. I don't know. I don't want to get eaten. What if there are some guys living up there in cabins and they take me and my daughters? Okay? But instead he went to Zoar. Then he got scared of that place. Then he went to the mountains. So what I find from this is Lot was kind of a chicken. Okay? Kind of a chicken. No, I probably would have made more worse decisions than he did. But what I'm saying is he didn't learn from his mistake, which was if he would have counseled God, or in this case just listened to God, he would have went around a lot of the problems that happened in Zoar. He ended up going to where God wanted him to go anyways, but instead he went the hard way. The Bible says that every knee will bow one day before him. And we can either choose to live in submission now with God's protection and blessing, or we can fight him and destroy ourselves and all those around us. His own daughters were so corrupt. This part blows me away again. So, his own daughters said, our dad does not have an heir. Okay, I could probably read it. Verse number 31. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come into us after the manner of all the earth. So they weren't worried about those there. They were worried about them having children. Verse 32, come, let us make our father drunk with wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. Never mind, I was right. And they made their father drunk with wine that night, and the firstborn went in and laid with her father. Okay, I can keep reading, but the story is just really weird to me. So, do you think their daughters would have done that? Again, you have to remember, where did they grow up? Where did they grow up? They grew up in Sodom. Now, that city was known for a lot of immorality, right? A lot of bad sins, sexual sins. Where do you think they learned this from? I don't know how old they were. I can't say. Okay? But do you think if God or if Lot would have maybe stayed away from Sodom, raised them the way that God wanted to raise them, okay, did things right, do you think that thought would even go through their head? No. I don't think that thought would have been anywhere close in their minds. However, I'm sure his daughters would never have ever thought of doing such a horrible thing. However, he had shown such a lack of discernment and leadership his whole life that his daughters didn't even possess basic morality. Lot's life would have looked so much different if he had pitched his tent towards Sodom. Each step he took away from God was a step downward for him and his family. And going back to that, the man of the house, now, the women, they make really big decisions too, and they affect the whole family as well. Okay? But the man is supposed to be the head of the house. Whenever a man makes a decision, okay, it definitely affects everything. And that's scary for me, being a father, being a husband. I kind of got married. I'll admit, I was, how old was I when I got married? 20? I was 20 when I got married. I probably could have used another 5 years of maturing before I got married. Okay? Now, Joelle was already mature. She was so good. She was ready to get married. Yep. She was ready to get married, man. But I wasn't. I could have used a little bit more maturing and growing up. I think it's just guys. I think guys take a little bit longer growing up. But... yeah, move it. We're going to skip that point. All right. So, this is my conclusion. I'm going to be fast tonight. If you are faced with a decision that makes you ponder whether it'll pull you or those under your leadership away from Christ, always consult Christ and take the high road. You will never regret taking time to pray earnestly and fasting, pray earnestly and fast about the decisions before you make it. Many times we make quick decisions that aren't properly thought through or prayed about, and we often regret it. I'm sure Lot was sitting there. It's just weird, probably wondering how his two daughters got pregnant. Like, what is happening here? Okay, what? I'm just so confused. My wife's dead. My two daughters and their husbands are dead. Why did I make that decision? Why didn't I pray? Why didn't I fast and ask God to guide me, to lead me? As a man, that was his job. That was his job to lead his family, and he chose poorly. Well, that's all I have for you tonight. So please stand to your feet, if you will.